Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
My name is Karen Hanna, and this is November 27th, 2024, and I am in Salina, Kansas.
Please state your name, please.
Huh?
What is your name?
My name is Lily Smith Dunn.
And where are we at right now?
We're in Salina, Kansas. 1425 Ricketts Circle, Salina, Kansas.
Okay, so we're going to start our interview here. And so let's go with your parents. Do you remember what was going through your head when you first had me as your child or any of your children? What was your thought?
My thought was I'm having a little girl. Her name is going to be Karen. And I'm so excited because I had the boys, and I wanted a little daughter. I had two girls already, though. I had two daughters. I had Dawn and Debbie, and I had Leroy, Dennis, and I had Edward.
Okay. So what advice would you give anyone about raising kids? What advice would you give?
God, you got to have a lot of patience.
Okay.
Lots of patience with them. I mean, they're beautiful kids. All babies, you know, come in the world, they're beautiful, but you got to have patience. One thing about it, you know, if you never had kids, they look beautiful, which they are. They're beautiful children, but then it takes a lot of patience to deal with them because they, you know, babies and they're growing up and they're learning life. Like, you know, you're learning how to deal with you. Well, you should have gave me a... should have prepared me.
That's okay. This is just from your heart. So, just, you know, whatever you want to say. So, growing... So, what are some of your dreams for your children? Your children and grandchildren. What do you dream for them?
My dream was for my children to grow up and be an example for the world. Like, they would be obedient to me, what I tell them to do. Because being a parent, you want to teach them moral things they need to do in life. They start out as babies and you teach them to, you know, to talk and how to sit and just, you're teaching them things that's important in life. How to, you know, first thing you got to teach them how to talk. You teach mm-hmm. them what to say and how to say it and then you teach them how to just walk in life, smiling and obeying, being obedient to what, you know, you tell them to do, sit and be quiet and all that stuff. You got to train them. You train up a child in the way it should go, when it's old, it will not depart from it. And you want to train your child up right so he can be able to say, my mom taught me this, and you teach it to your children. They go from generation to generation. And so you're teaching them manners, you know, how to life, respect for others as well as for yourself.
Okay, so let's go on to you growing up. So can you tell us when and where you were born?
I was born in Mississippi. I believe it was Jonestown, Mississippi. I was born there to my mom. She had 14 children. And I was trying to think, yeah, I was the last girl that she had. And I was, like I say, I was born in Jonestown, Mississippi, but I was kind of raised in Minnesota, Mississippi by my dad and my Aunt Susie. I was like 6 or 7 years old when I was there. But I remember Jonestown more because that's most where I was raised up at, in Jonestown, Mississippi. It was like close to Clarksdale and between Clarksdale and then Memphis, so anyway. Growing on a farm. It was a plantation there. We had cotton and corn and sorghum and all that kind of stuff. But I just didn't like Mississippi because it was just, it was too much going on with hogs and dogs and cows and stuff, and I was afraid of everything, so, and snakes and all of that stuff, and bears, they said the bears was in the, we lived in a, called a loop, and they had trees and water all the river running, surrounding us, and they said it was mad dogs and wild animals out there, and I was afraid of everything, so I was thankful that we moved out of Mississippi and got into Memphis. I was in Memphis for a while, but I didn't like Mississippi because it was too, everything was going on, mad dogs and, oh God, and cows and hogs and pigs get out of the pen and you'd be wandering around and through the cotton field and corn field, and I was afraid of them. So I was never happy in Mississippi, but I would be moved out when I was. I went to Memphis when I was like 12 or 13. But I was happy when we moved here. I was 16 when I moved in Kansas. Yep.
So can you tell me your parents' names?
Yes. My mom was Tally White, and my dad was Tobe Adams. Yep. They wasn't really married. They was just, you know, they kind of lived together there. But it was Tally White. That was her maiden name. And my dad was Tobe Adams. I was proud of the Adams because they were supposed to be high-class people, you know. The Adams, they had money and they had education. And they had all this stuff and they was proper and did this and that. But my mom, she was told in her days that we didn't need education because black people are going to pick cotton, chop cotton all their lives. So my mom never got to school. She worked hard in the field, but never got to go to school. 14 of us. Nobody went to school. Mm-hmm. And so, but we made it.
So what was your nickname growing up?
I had a lot of nicknames, you can believe that. My dad called me Little Gal. But my brothers was crazy. They called me stupid cat or something like stupid cat, black gal, and I had all kind of names. But my name, my little gal was my dad called me all the time, little gal. But yeah, I had a lot of nicknames. What was it? Oh, God, and so many of them. Black gal and stupid and everything they called me, I had to answer by it because my brothers, they would jump on me all the time. I had three brothers there along with them. They, whatever they called me, I'm supposed to answer or they get mad and hit me. So one of them called me black gal and the other one called me stupid. I just, three brothers and they called me all kind of names. So, but I went by Doll. That was my Aunt Susie called me Doll.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you have a favorite memory from when you, a favorite story or memory from your childhood?
I don't know. It's kind of like a song. Peter, pack Anita, had her, my wife, he couldn't keep her. And put her in a pumpkin shell, and then she fared very well, or some way it went. But that was one. Peter, Punkinita had a wife he couldn't keep, and put her in the pumpkin shell, and then he kept her very well. And so that was the one that we kind of sang. And then I used to play Jack Rocks. We had the Jack Rocks. Mm-hmm. But I never could learn how to. I could flip them, but I couldn't ever catch them on the back of my hand. So, but I like to always try to like to play that. I think Jack Rock. Yeah, that was one of the games they play. What was the name of that thing? You throw it, I mean, you catch it on the back of your hand. I know they call it Jack Rock, and you throw it up, and then you have to catch it on the back of your hand. You throw the rocks up, and then you catch them like that on the back of your hand.
Kind
of
like jacks.
It's jack rock, I think they call it. Yeah, okay. I tried to play that, but I wasn't good at it because I couldn't push my hand over fast enough to catch the rock when it come down on it. But they throw it like this. Have you ever seen it, Karen, they have it like this, and then they throw it and they catch it in the back of the hand? Mm-hmm. You remember that one? Yeah. They call it jack rock. I always liked to play that because it was so neat. Like.
Okay. Well, next question is, we'll talk about marriage. So how did you meet, you could say, being married, just talk about marriage. How did you meet your husband or husbands?
Oh.
Whatever you want to share about marriage and their husband.
Okay, so you want to know who did I meet? Yeah. How did I meet my husband?
Yes.
Well, I didn't get a husband until I came to Kansas, and that was Harold was, which was Dennis's dad. Harold, I met him, I think we had went down to the Picarear down there somewhere. I met him at the Picarear. And of course, we didn't get married. We stayed together for a little bit. But with my husband, your dad, I met him at the church. He came to the church with Don and Debbie because he needed a mom for, and I had Leroy and Dennis, so I needed a dad for my kid. And I met him at the Lord Memorial back then, Church of God in Christ. I met him, and I really did want to get married to him, but like I said, I needed a dad for my kids, and he needed a mom for Deborah and Don, and I had Leroy and Dennis, so we got together on that at the church over there at, what was that church? Lord Memorial, Church of God in Christ. Yeah, it was over on East North Street there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what were the best times you had in that marriage, and what were the worst times?
So Jesus. The best time in the marriage was when we had a car. He had a car. I didn't have one. I had walked. I had to get a ride with the cab where I went and whatever. But he had a car, and I was able to ride in this car, and that's how I learned how to drive, because he taught me how to drive, and I wanted to learn how to drive so I could get my own car. So that was the best time in my life to have a car that I could get in, because otherwise I had to walk or get a cab or something. So that was good. When we got married, I was able to drive, and being married, because I wanted to be married, married always looked good. And so, and then had a father for my, for my son, Leroy and Dennis. So, and then I had the two girls with Deborah and Dawn. So I was happy with having a family. My best time in life, being married to him and being able to drive and didn't have to walk and get a cab. And had four kids. I think I was 20 years old. I said I was 19, but I think I might have been 20. Yeah. Yep, being able to drive a car, because otherwise I had to walk everywhere, or get a cab, or most of the time I had to walk. So,
what advice would you give to young couples who are just getting married and blending a family? What advice would you give them?
What advice I would, first of all, I would love to see them have God in their lives before they can have a godly God, and because marriage is very, it's very important to have God in your life, to have a standard way of living, and I always say you need to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You need to be wise and know how to treat each other, love each other, compassion for each other. So I advise them to have God in their lives. They use that word, when they're marrying you, you obey and this, all that, they lay out to you. And so I think that you need to be very serious about life when you get married. You study and know what you're supposed to do. Being wise of who you're marrying, why you're marrying, and all that. Why you getting married to this person. Because it's a lot. And it's a vow. You make a vow. And when you make a vow, you know, you keep the vow. So you got to, I use the word wise in all you do. Be wise. And be to be wise, you have to have God's word. You study the word of God. You study to show yourself approval unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, but knowing how to rightly divide the word of truth. So it's important. That's, some people don't think it, but it is. It's because you living by the word. We live by precept and example, what you say you do. And so that's, you don't think that much, but you need counseling. Before you, and that's why they try to cancel you when you, because it's a great step. It's an important step.
Okay, so I know that. We'll go on to the next thing, which is what you did for a living. So, can you tell us about what you did for a living?
Yeah, when I first got married, I was very young. Like I said, we back then with no. Well, I did work, and I worked at the, I guess they call it a restaurant, a cafe. I went at Ella Lloyd. They taught me how to serve and how to handle myself when I'm serving people. You got to know, in order, have respect for yourself first and then others. When you have respect for yourself, you can pass it to somebody else. But if you, and respect is knowing how, what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And you learn that it's important because people watch how you handle yourself, how you serve people. So I think that's very important to first learn what you're supposed to do, and having respect for others. You gotta know what to do before them. I guess I got that one. I think that one went through my brain.
Okay, so you're talking about what you did. So you did start out at the cafe.
Yeah, I started at the cafe. I was up down there they called it a restaurant, a cafe, with Ella Lloyd and Mother Lloyd. And they taught me how to dress, how to serve people with smile, and with a smile, and you say hello, you speak to them, hi, you handle it, and they watch it, because people watch, they watch how you handle yourself, how you receive other people, and that's what I learn how. Of course, before that, I had already been taught by Aunt Susie, my Aunt Susie, that how to dress, how have a smile, don't be all frowned up and whatever. You have a smile, and you greet them, hi, you speak or whatever, or however you speak to them. And then you kind of, you greet them with a smile, like, and you present your clothes dressed, that people watch how you dress. They watch how your smile is, how your face look. So you want to present yourself to them as a decent and order way. You say decent and in order. Have you heard that word? Decent in order.
Yes.
And so decent in order is a very way, a good way to greet anybody.
Okay.
With that smile.
So I know you, so you did that. I know you had some other jobs. So I know you retired. Can you tell us about where you worked and where you retired from and how that happened?
Yes. Well, that was stressful. I had no education, of course. I went out to look for a job because my husband told me I had to go to work. He said they wouldn't give me another dime. So I ended up going, I did do some house cleaning, which was not, a real job. But anyway, I ended up going to Tony's when they had just opened up out there on the base, and I had to buy me an old car, and it was, this car what I bought was in the back of I forget her name. But anyway, it was sitting and I asked if she would sell it to me because I didn't have a car. So she did. I think she sold it to me for $25 or $30. I got the old car working, went to Tony's out there. They had just opened up. And I never had seen an application. I didn't know what an application was. They told me I had to fill out an application. And they gave it to me, and the only thing I could read on there was my name. I wrote my name down, and I couldn't spell very good. I wrote my name. I know I spelled that, but when it asked me about where I worked at before, I couldn't remember, couldn't spell the place that I worked, like cleaning the house for this lady. But anyway, like I said, I had never filled out an application, and one of the ladies that worked there, that gave me the application. She kept watching me. And it took me about an hour because I didn't know how to spell, and I didn't know what the word, some of the words was. But all I know was to put my name down there and my address, and that's about it. But anyway, I worked at Tony's. I went to work. They gave me a job. I told them I said, my husband put me out. He told me he wasn't going to give me another dime, and I needed a job. And they said, we don't have a job for you right now. We're not hiring. And so then after I told them that my husband had put me out, told me I had to get a job, after I left, they called me and they said they don't have a job for me, but they would make a job because they didn't want me to be out without having, you know, money. So they made a job for me at Tony's. I would kick the pans up as they had the meat. They did everything manual. And I had to take the pans and take them and bring meats to in another pan and take this to the kitchen where we could wash it. And I just had to supply the meats and stuff what they needed to have on the conveyor line, whatever. But anyway, that was the worst thing that I ever had to do, was try to fill out an application. I didn't know how to spell and I didn't know how to write nothing, but they gave me a job at Tony's. They gave me a job at Tony's. I worked there 30 years. And that job, I retired from there. It was my life. I was able to get me a home and all that stuff for my retirement. I worked at Tony's 30 long years, and it was my hardest years in my life. I cried when I got to work. I cried when I got off the job. I was crying, but I had to keep going. Oh, Jesus. It still makes me like, oh, yeah, that was that meat was cold, but finally I got on the line. They put, because we were doing manual at first, and then we went up to machines where we had it, and I had to bring the meat and stuff to the whatever. But anyway, that was my worst job ever. But I worked 30 years at Tony's, and I retired there, so it all worked out. God worked it out. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I tell you, thank you, Jesus.
Well, speaking of Jesus, let's go talk about your spiritual life. So,
oh, God.
Can you tell me about what you believe and what your religion is?
Oh, yeah. My belief is really solid. Solid. Facts that God is able to meet your needs of whatever the needs is. That's my belief. Because he said, ask and it shall be given. He told us to seek him. We'll find him. Knock and the door is open. I know there has been some times that I question God. Why? Why? Why is this happening to me? But God have answered all of my prayers. If you don't go through things, you have no experience. But when you've been there, done that, you can tell the world, hey, I've been there. I know what it's like. I had asked the Lord for a job, and he blessed me with Tony's. I asked the Lord for a husband, first husband, second husband, and he did it. And I had told God, I said, God, with my first husband, I said, why in the world would you give me this man that is evil, beat me up, knocked me down? And I was trying to raise the kids and all, and I asked God why. But then he told me, if you hadn't gone through anything, you had no testimony. But when you've been there, done that, you know, you can tell the world that God will answer prayer. And he did. So I've been through a lot, but God had got me through all of it. I'm 87 years old. 80, as Alan Jr. told me, the kids, when they almost like 9 years or 10 years, they said, I'm 10, almost 10. And so I'm almost, I told them, I'm almost 90. And so I said, yeah, I say, but I've been through a lot, but God is able. He answered all of my prayers, Sister Karen, down through the years. I have looked at God. I told him a few times, though, where are you, God? Why? Mm-hmm. Why? And he just never answered. But he, now I know why. If you haven't been through it, you can't have no testimony. When you've been there and still going, you can tell the world, hey, God is who he say he is, and he will do what he say he will do. And he will. But it takes time and patience. Mm-hmm. You know what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yep, I love that one.
Him. Yes.
Job, he experienced it. So do I. So, oh, my God.
So, yeah, I know. That gets us all
hyped up.
So this is the next question, and I know you talk about it a lot, but what do you think it'll be like after death? You know, we believe in life after. What do you think it's going to be like?
Oh, my God. The older I get, the more I think about it. And I don't know the Bible a lot, but the little bit I read in it and know about it, it kind of comes to my heart. He said, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. It haven't even entered into the heart of man what God got prepared for us on the other side. I can see Jerusalem. I can just see, oh my God. It's just like a party, you know, man. Everything is going. It's just music and dancing and praising God. Like we do here, like sometimes you got the tambourine going and you got the guitar going and boom, 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 boom. And that goes forever. You can't. I think of it as the eyes have not seen, my ears heard. And enter into the heart of man what God got prepared for us.
Yes,
I said, look at this world out here. God set it up, and look at it. It's amazing. I said, oh, God, I don't want to miss it. It's going to be so exciting. It's no, if, look what God got down here for you.
Yeah.
And you think it's going to be, oh, you'd be so happy you made it there. The God I made it. Thank you.
Speaking of when you make it,
what
would you say to God? What are you going to say?
Oh,
when
God,
you see
I
you see him face
said,
to
oh,
face.
God, thank you, thank you. I will never be able to thank him enough. Because like now, you know, I say, God, thank you for my home. Thank you for my car. Thank you for life. You know, I look at him. I say, God, you're more than I will never be able. So I always thank him. I say, God, thank you. You gave me this house, and I don't have to worry about anything. You supply my needs here, God. And I know that whatever you say will be. Is it like I always think about, eyes have not seen, not ears heard. It ain't even entering into the heart of man what you got over there for us. It's no way. I said, look at this world. Oh, he's something, ain't he? I tell you, I said, when God made this earth, the sky, he made it where man could fly through some of the clouds up there. He knew man was going to fly his plane. He said, I know your thoughts from afar off. Mm-hmm. He already know your thoughts. So he already made everything where man could zoom far up there. He can only go so far. And he can go through the clouds and all that stuff up in the air. So he already knows what you need. And he already got that place prepared. He said, oh, this is exciting. So it's worth it. Oh, yeah. The devil is a liar.
He is a liar.
Yeah, I tell you, he's a lying wonder. He don't want it because he missed out. He don't want you to have it. But, yeah, it's more than you can express.
Oh, yes.
It's more than you can imagine. The streets are paved with gold. And it's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. I told him, you know what I told God? I said, God, wake up, man. Wake him up, God. Let him know you got... You have the greatest it's on the other side. He think he's looking at something here. But you got the most beautiful. Oh, yeah. So you work hard at it, Karen. You got to work to get there.
So, last question. How do you want to be remembered? So it's as people who you've served in church with, your family. How would you like them to remember you?
I thought about that too. I said, I want to leave a legacy back here. Mm. I want to leave back here, you know, Lily did this, that, other. And I had thought about it, Karen. I said, my life, when I was born, I guess, to be serving. I have helped so many peoples.
That's true.
I've helped, took care of my sisters. In the church, I make food, and I this stuff. I have, with Sister Crane, Ella Chambers, and all them, I help them. All of them people. So I want to be remembered as serving and helping and just encouraging. You know, that's my legacy. I want to leave that back here that my mom did this. My friend Lily, she did that. And had that told to me already. Lily, you're always helping people doing stuff. I said, yeah, I don't mind. I love it. And, you know, I want to have a smile. I told them I want them to remember me as being a nice person, a helping person. So that's what I want to leave back here, a legacy.
Okay.
That my mom was always, yeah, I know your mom. He did this, that, and other.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, well on your way to leaving a legacy.
Yeah, well, I said, then they can say, well, you know, she was really a nice person. Didn't she live on the south end of town over there? Yeah, in that little house over there by the dike thing. Oh, yeah, did she have that PT cruiser over there? Oh, yeah, I said, God, I think Rachel talked me into that PT cruiser. She was about 6 or 7 years old when I got that PT cruiser. And she said, Grandma, Grandma. And this guy, he fell in love with Rachel. He said, can I buy her a pop?
Lily Smith was born on February 8th, 1937. She recorded this at the age of 87 years old.